Breaking news tonight, and it's a bombshell. The FBI raids the office of President Trump's personal lawyer, Michael Cohen. A stunning turn as the feds reportedly seize a wide range of records, including payments to porn star Stormy Daniels. Also tonight, we're awaiting the president's critical decision on Syria. Will he order a military strike after that horrifying chemical attack? Was your personal data misused? Facebook set to reveal who got hit as Mark Zuckerberg prepares to get grilled before Congress. A tragic mix-up in that bus crash that killed 10 young hockey players.
Everybody's heart is broken open for them. There's just no way to measure the pain that everybody's feeling.
Authorities now say one teen who they thought survived actually perished, while another family preparing to bury their son is told he is alive. And an NBC News exclusive, my candid conversation with former Attorney General Loretta Lynch on Clinton, Comey, and more.
This is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening and welcome to our viewers in the West. We begin with late word of an FBI raid in the New York City offices of President Trump's personal lawyer, Michael Cohen. He's the same lawyer who facilitated that large payment to adult film actress Stormy Daniels. Agents also hit Cohen's hotel room, seizing records after getting a referral from the special counsel's office. But NBC News has learned the records in question relate to the Daniels case, not the Mueller investigation. NBC's Kristen Welker has details.
Tonight, a dramatic FBI raid at the New York office and hotel room of Michael Cohen, the president's personal attorney who paid off adult film star Stormy Daniels for her silence about her alleged affair with Mr. Trump 11 days before the election. Law enforcement officials say the FBI is investigating that $130,000 payment to Daniels, which watchdog groups have called a campaign violation. And today, investigators seized emails, tax documents, and business records, according to the New York Times, which first reported the news. Tonight, law enforcement sources tell NBC News federal prosecutors in Manhattan obtained search warrants after a referral from special counsel Robert Mueller, who found evidence of a potential crime, but determined the matter didn't involve the Russia investigation. Cohen's attorney lashing out, calling the move completely inappropriate and unnecessary, saying the FBI seized privileged communications and arguing Cohen has cooperated completely with all government entities.
This means that prosecutors believe they have probable cause to show a crime has been committed and that they'll find evidence in Mr. Cohen's office. But what crime and who committed it, that we do not yet know.
Tonight, the president sounded off on the FBI raid.
So I just heard that they broke into the office of one of my personal attorneys, good man, and it's a disgraceful situation.
And on special counsel Robert Mueller.
A real disgrace. It's an attack on our country in a true sense.
Kristen Welker joining us live now. Kristen, what did the Justice Department know about these raids?
Well, Lester, because this search was inside a lawyer's office, the Department of Justice had to sign off on it. In this case, legal sources say it was Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein who gave the approval. Now, Rosenstein, as you remember, oversees the Russia investigation, but this latest probe is separate. Now, as for the president's comments about Mueller tonight, they will undoubtedly raise some eyebrows. His legal team is in the process of negotiating a potential interview between the president and Mueller. The president's legal team has insisted the best strategy is to cooperate with Mueller to end the investigation quickly, Lester.
All right, Kristen, welcome with that late breaking news. Thank you. Now to another major story, the suspected chemical attack that killed dozens of civilians in Syria. President Trump condemning it today as a barbaric act and vowing to determine a response in 24 to 48 hours. After the world witnessed those graphic, horrifying images of Syrian men, women, and children said to have been killed or injured in the attack. We have it all covered, beginning with NBC Chief White House Correspondent Hallie Jackson. Hallie, good evening.
Good evening, Lester. At this point, it seems more like a matter of when, not if, President Trump will respond to that devastating attack. What we don't know is what that response might look like.
Any minute, more missile strikes, maybe nearly a year to the day after the last round, with President Trump now promising a decision fast.
We'll be making some major decisions over the next 24 to 48 hours. We're talking about humanity, and it can't be allowed to happen.
Nothing's off the table, he says, blaming Animal Assad, his new nickname for the Syrian president, and notably putting not just Iran, but Russia on notice.
if it's Russia, if it's Syria, if it's Iran.
For the deaths of dozens of civilians outside Damascus. In some of his strongest terms yet, the president's calling out Vladimir Putin.
Does Putin bear responsibility for this?
He may, yeah, he may. And if he does, it's going to be very tough.
But last April, a similar attack, similar horrific images, and a similar warning.
These heinous actions by the Assad regime cannot be tolerated.
Back then, the president fired 59 Tomahawk missiles on an empty Syrian airstrip. A strike meant to stop the regime from gassing its own people. Assad struck again anyway.
Is the White House worried that Assad is now making a mockery of President Trump's threats?
Not at all. What our concern is about is the fact that the Assad regime has taken an outrageous action.
The White House dismissing critics who point to these remarks from the president last week.
We'll be coming out of Syria, like, very soon.
Some, like Republican Senator John McCain, worry that emboldened Assad. Now, a president reluctant to keep the U.S. military involved perhaps perceives no choice. Hallie Jackson, NBC News, The White House.
This is Bill Neely. Horrific images of Syrian children fighting for breath, of entire families killed in their homes, the U.S. accusing Russia and Syrian President Assad of the chemical attack.
Who does this? Only a monster does this. Russia could stop this senseless slaughter if it wanted.
Overnight, action from Israel. Warplanes striking a Syrian airbase, also used by Iran.
Israeli warplanes hit the same base 2 months ago. They launched this overnight attack from here, inside Lebanese airspace, firing 8 guided missiles.
But such attacks have failed to deter Assad, who notoriously killed more than 1,000 civilians with chemicals 5 years ago. Russia threatening that any U.S. military action could have serious consequences. Bill Neely, NBC News, Beirut.
I know some tough images the world is reacting to tonight. A flurry in the halls of Congress this evening as Facebook's Mark Zuckerberg makes the rounds, prepping for a public grilling from lawmakers, and Facebook prepares to let users know who had their personal data misused. We get the latest tonight from NBC News business correspondent Jolene Kent.
Tonight, Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg taking his apology tour to Capitol Hill.
Mark, are you putting profits over people? Do you have any comments to the people who believe that they can no longer trust Facebook anymore?
Facing reporters and senators one day before what's expected to be a grilling before Congress.
If we don't rein in the misuse of social media, none of us are going to have any privacy anymore.
Facebook is under fire for its role in Russia's election meddling and for a scandal with Cambridge Analytica that harvested as many as 87 million Facebook users' personal data without their knowledge. Facebook says Zuckerberg will tell Congress, "We didn't take a broad enough view of our responsibility, and that was a big mistake. It was my mistake, and I'm sorry." Facebook struggling with more bad news today. Apple co-founder Steve Wozniak joining the Delete Facebook movement, criticizing the social media network for giving away too much information about its users.
And everything you ever give, it's, oh, we own it now. We can sell your pictures and make money and even get money for them, and you don't get any money for them. That's been going on for a long time.
Facebook today says it started notifying millions of users whose data was accessed, sending them a message on their newsfeed with a privacy tool so they can see where their information went and how to delete it. But does that go far enough?
What's going to matter this week is not what Mark says, which is a lot of things that we've heard before, but how he says it. Facebook has to prove that it can be trusted.
Today, Facebook announced a new independent election research commission. It says it wants to study the impact of social media on elections and democracy. Lester.
All right, Jolene Kent at the Capitol tonight. Thank you. Now to new details in the horrific bus crash that killed 15 people in Canada, including 10 young members of a junior hockey team. In a tragic mistake, authorities initially mixed up the identities of a survivor and one of the victims who died in the crash. NBC's Ron Mott is there and has more.
Tonight, heartbreak in Humboldt, Canada, magnified by a government mix-up. 18-year-old junior hockey player Xavier Labelle, who was thought to be dead, survived. mistaken for teammate Parker Tobin, who did not.
And I want to apologize to both of those families on behalf of the Office of the Chief Coroner. A lot of these boys looked alike. They had the blonde hair that was supportive of their team and for their playoff run. They're very similar builds.
Xavier's house mother tweeted goodbye to him and two teammates who lived in her home before learning of the error. Her other house sons, Adam Harold, who would have turned 17 on Thursday, and 18-year-old Logan Hunter, died in the crash. In all, 10 of the 15 fatalities were players, aged 16 to 21. Logan Schatz, 20, was captain. 42-year-old Darcy Hogan was head coach.
Everybody's heart is broken open for them.
Brody Hins, an 18-year-old statistician for the team, volunteered at a soup kitchen.
If you needed Brody's help, Brody was there. That was just his character.
At a vigil, the team's chaplain fought back tears.
And walked up and found a scene that I never want to see again, to sounds I never want to hear again.
Detailing the horrors he encountered after arriving at the crash scene moments after the wreck.
It's just an unquenchable thing. Nothing you can do is going to make it go away. And that feeling of hopelessness was just hell.
A tight-knit hockey town reeling anew with sadness. Ron Mott, NBC News, Humboldt, Saskatchewan.
All right, we're going to take a turn here and turn to an NBC News exclusive. Former Obama U.S. Attorney General Loretta Lynch is speaking out for the first time since leaving the job. It was under her watch that the FBI investigation was launched into Hillary Clinton's use of a private email server while she was Secretary of State. A case that took some unexpected turns and made Lynch a political lightning rod for Republicans before the election. I met up with her in Manhattan.
The timing of the Clinton investigation in the middle of a presidential election, I know that shouldn't color any decisions you make, but you certainly weren't ignorant of it, were you?
Well, it's all around you. You know, it's my favorite question from reporters when they would say, when are you going to wrap this up? And they would also add, because she's running for president, you know. And it's part of the context of it, but it cannot figure into the decisions that you make.
Still, Loretta Lynch's decisions on the Clinton email investigation were questioned after she ran into former President Bill Clinton on an airport apron 5 months before the election.
It was still 107 degrees outside, and I was told that he wanted to come on the plane and say hello.
Did a part of you go, no, turn him around?
You know, at first my thought was, you know, I speak to people all the time, people in public life, people not in public life.
Right, but his wife was under investigation citizens. By the Justice Department.
She says they made mostly small talk, nothing about Mr. Clinton's wife and her email server.
Did you have any moment where you said, Mr. President, this is probably not appropriate or this is going to look bad?
Well, I will say that in the course of the conversation, we spoke and it seemed like we were going to say hello, hi, how are you, and move on. And then the conversation would continue.
In this hyper-partisan environment we're in, did you ever once consider recusing yourself from the Clinton investigation?
Well, that's always an issue. As I said at the time, I knew that it was going to raise questions in people's minds. So what you do is you always consult the legal experts. You always get a legal answer as to whether or not recusal is required. And had it been, then that's what I would have done.
Instead, she announced she would abide by whatever decision career prosecutors made in the case. And so she admits she was surprised when FBI Director James Comey made this announcement.
In looking back at our investigations into the mishandling or removal of classified information, we cannot find a case that would support bringing criminal charges on these facts.
Rod Rosenstein wrote in his memo recommending Comey's dismissal that he was wrong to usurp the Attorney General's authority on July 5, 2016, and announce his conclusion that the case, the Clinton case, should be closed without prosecution. Was Comey wrong? Did he usurp your authority?
Well, it certainly was an unusual move. It was a different way to deliver a recommendation to the Attorney General. I had not had any of my other law enforcement agencies deliver a recommendation in a case to me in that way.
Well, unusual, before. But it was either right or wrong. Was it right
and,
or wrong?
Well, you know, I think he's going to have to speak to why he took those actions.
What was your reaction when you heard Comey had been fired?
Well, you know, I think I was as surprised as any American. You know, I don't know the circumstances behind it.
Did you at any point wish he had been fired?
No, I think that, you know, the FBI director as well as the other leaders of the law enforcement agencies of the department carried out their tremendous responsibilities under a great deal of pressure.
The FBI investigation into possible ties between Russia and the Trump campaign also began under Lynch's time as attorney general. She cites the ongoing Mueller investigation as reason for not speaking in detail about it, but she did defend the actions and the integrity of the FBI in its handling of the case. Still ahead, the nation's biggest pet store chain, PetSmart, under fire for a series of dog deaths. What you need to know this evening. Also, before you book your summer travel, which airline soared highest in the latest quality ratings? We'll have them for you. We're back now to tell you about the growing outrage against the nation's biggest pet store chain. At least four dog owners claiming their pets have died in the last 5 months during grooming appointments at PetSmart stores. NBC's Kristen Dahlgren has been investigating the allegations, and she has details for us.
The latest dog to die, a corgi named Abby, died March 29th in Toms River, New Jersey, after being dropped off for routine grooming.
Truffles is being taken to Flemington Vet.
Danielle DiNapoli says she got this call about her dog Scruffles during grooming at a Flemington, New Jersey PetSmart last December. By the time she got there, the 8-year-old dog was dead. The DiNapolis are filing a lawsuit claiming PetSmart violated policy by using a dryer on the English Bulldog, a breed known to be prone to breathing difficulty.
So many dogs.
Danielle says she was shocked by how many other owners have since reached out with their own allegations.
I cannot count. There's so many. I cannot count.
In a statement, PetSmart calls the incidents unrelated, adding it's deeply saddened by the deaths, but pointing out its investigations revealed associates followed rigorous practices and that pet parents have refused to share their animals' autopsy reports, which could show pre-existing conditions. The company did recently form a task force to evaluate grooming procedures, adding its groomers already undergo 800 hours of training. Currently, no states require a license for dog groomers, but laws in New Jersey are now pending, named after dogs who have died, like Scruffles.
She's the little girl bulldog that changed the rules.
A family hoping its loss could help save others. Kristen Dahlgren, NBC News, Lambertville, New Jersey.
We'll take a short break, then coming up, the senator and mom who just made history doing something no senator has ever done before. Also, the wild protest as Bill Cosby goes on trial again, her connection to Cosby's sitcom past. A chaotic start outside the courthouse in Pennsylvania at the retrial of Bill Cosby, who was charged with drugging and sexually assaulting a woman at his home in 2004, an allegation he has denied. Ahead of opening statements, a topless protester who appeared on the Cosby show as a child jumped a barricade and got within a few feet of Cosby. She said her goal was to make Cosby uncomfortable because, quote, that is exactly what he has been doing for decades to women. The new list of the top quality airlines is out, and Alaska Airlines is on top. The list is based on several factors, including on-time performance and mishandled bags. Delta was in second place, followed by JetBlue, Hawaiian, and Southwest. And a first for the United States Senate, Senator Tammy Duckworth of Illinois has given birth to a baby girl, making her the first senator to give birth while in office. And our congratulations to her and little baby Miley. When we come back, epic journey inside NASA's critical mission right here on Earth. Finally tonight, let's take a breathtaking journey to one of the most remote places on Earth. NASA has a mission at the top of the world that could prove critical to the very future of our planet. And our Jacob Soboroff takes us along for the ride.
Back home in Washington, whether or not climate change is real still seems to be up for debate. But right here, 750 miles north of the Arctic Circle on the sea ice of Greenland, there is no debate at all. Climate change is real, it's happening, and this is ground zero. This is the coldest place, possibly the coldest moment I've ever experienced in my entire life. How is this ground zero for climate change?
Thinning ice, shrinking ice cover.
And that leads to climate change?
Yes.
This year, during the coldest part of the year, the Arctic experienced its warmest levels ever recorded and the second lowest sea ice levels. Collecting this data is central to NASA's Operation Ice Bridge, and we join them on their flight.
This glacier is one of the few glaciers left in Greenland
that still has an ice shelf at the end of it. In other words, floating ice that is attached to the original glacier.
Hang tight. Hold on, guys.
After a successful 8-hour mission, we landed back at the base. And even though it looks like a frozen tundra, the warming world may soon affect long-held traditions here, like dog sledding routes.
Part of the reason that we came here was to go with NASA and to look at the melting sea ice, climate change.
It'll be very sad when the sea ice melts.
This place may seem far away, but it turns out it's closer to home than any of us may have realized. Jacob Soboroff, NBC News, Thule Air Base, Greenland.
An amazing but troubled part of our world tonight. We appreciate you spending part of your evening with us. That is Nightly News for this Monday. I'm Lester Holt, and for all of us at NBC News, thank you for watching, and good night.